I'm 100% sure, but I'm not having crutches at the moment. So what I'm having is, so we had a long problem about not finding out why the time syncing up between the relative time in a summarized section and the absolute time didn't correspond and stuff, and we finally got some stupid, well, at the moment our best guess is that it was some stupid Java thing about if you have two objects and you say A equals B, they actually reference to the same thing. So any changes you make to one are made to the other. And if you do that around 5 quarters, you lose track of it and you suddenly wonder why that value is zero. And it turns out it is zero because it's the same thing that you. Anyway, so we figured out. It's interesting. Why don't I have a screen here now? Actually, that's new, but that's okay.
What's
It's
it
doing
on?
different things all the time. Like, this is the first
Well,
time that
now
I
you don't
actually.
have it on your screen.
But that should be okay. That should be okay. I'll be able to.
Normally, at least on Windows machines, it goes through a cycle. So if you press whatever the key combination
Yeah, but
you
last
press
time I
is.
pressed the key combination, everything went wrong, and I think I'll be able to do it just fine on the screen. So that'll
Oh.
probably keep me from pointing on my
But
screen, which I usually.
now it's not showing
It
anything.
might just be at this point, like there's sometimes a point in loading, not usually that long. Well, let's see. Anyway, so let's just see what happens. In the end, we did get it working.
Maybe try
Yeah,
the key combination again. With the Windows machines, there's a cycle, so that if you press it once, you get it on both your screen and the projector. Another time, it takes it off your
so
screen.
now I have a complete mess of like
And
split screens and stuff. I think last time.
Oops, oh
Yes, but
well.
that's not what we want, is it?
No.
So, but I think this is a logout command, and usually it resets this.
Do you want to?
Amazing strange color combinations I see in front of
Wow.
me at the moment.
Do you want to try rebooting? That seemed to work before, didn't it?
Yeah, we somehow always get it working in different ways every time. So that kept us like basically from doing anything else for quite some time in the last day because we were hunting down that stupid error. I got it fixed in the last whatever 1 hour or something, but so at the moment the program is sort of in between working and not working because we've done lots of changes to try what the error was. Dave, I think actually that the summary at the current moment isn't working 100% correct. But that could be because of the input data. It seems to just take the first utterances more or less.
Did you see it on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I have to
you
check.
can move it up a bit
Like
so you
if
get
you
closer to
first
the
if you read through the summaries, they read
Okay.
suspiciously fluid, like as in people's questions and answers, and if you plot them on the screen where they are at the moment, they
Well,
seem to all.
depends which data you use as well, because if you use the data where they're all really high, it does prefer ones from the beginning because it just picks the
Yes.
first ones it finds.
So maybe that's where the problem is coming from.
But I'll check it out anyway.
Yeah. So this is when you start shifting around your laptop to think that it gets somehow less sloped on the screen. So I'm not really sure what this meeting is about, to be honest. I'm going to show this just what we have at the moment, but it's not going to look very different from what we had last time. Don't ask me what happened to the promise that you'll get your script where you can use your own stuff, because actually that was sort of ready, but then we sort of started trying to get something more working, and then we got into big problems. So at the moment, I mean, again, we should be at a state where people can load their own script.
Yeah, I've got time now, like for the next couple of days, so I'll do some of it. Because I was just too busy last week.
Thing is, at the moment, it's just really bad for me. But from Monday on, I can just do 24/7 for this one until it's due. But until Monday, it's going to be really bad. Like, I can probably help people if they have problems with getting what we have running now, but we'll see.
All right. Let me know when you're finished.
Okay. So I'll just start up what we have now, and then we can talk about what different people have and stuff.
What's that that's creeping over the
Sorry.
screen?
Huh?
Doesn't look great, does it?
Eek! Yeah, it doesn't. But sometimes you have to take whatever you get and just see how far it gets you.
That's really weird, they just started creeping over.
Yeah, so let's perhaps in the meantime talk about the numbers reassigned to the dialogue X because I didn't know that you left out those who don't have words, so I just extracted the actual dialogue numbers, and the problem is it's perhaps more dangerous to get mistaken with all those numbers and not knowing why things happen if we just leave out numbers and make new.
Well, as long as the team corresponds, then
yeah, sure, but for all those numbers that are based on words, I can automatically just throw those where it's nothing, but those dialects at like 33 in the first meeting, they have a duration, even though they don't have a word. So for my other measures, I get them, and I don't, I mean, I would have to look for every single word program that looks for every single number and does the mapping.
Would it be easier if there's a reference file with the actual real ID and the corresponding
yes.
number?
Yeah, there's index files already.
Is there some already?
Yeah.
Was that?
Yeah, in the raw text index direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to mark between the different IDs.
So would that solve the problem, basically?
Yeah, I just wondered why you think it's necessary at all to do that?
Because the whole program works on them being numbered at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a problem first now.
It'd be a lot of work for really no extra feature gain at all.
But actually, I think there is something in the audio. If there's a, even though there's not a word, I think in the audio there will be something at that point because it has a duration.
What do you think it could appear in the summary?
Hmm?
I think something in the audio is just like a noise, and then we don't want it.
Yeah, okay. You can't show it this way.
You cut
yeah.
it out.
Yeah, you carry the ones that don't have any words, I suppose.
Would that not happen at some, sorry, I'm jumping in, would that not happen at summarization anyway, even if they're in, the, like, would the ones that have no words and then not have really low information density or something?
I don't know, because the thing is, it depends if we want to ever display the whole thing at once.
Because you'd reckon that you could leave them in and they would never show up in a summary anyway.
If you left them in, like, it wouldn't affect the way the program works.
Yeah, I mean, why do you have a special handling for those?
Well, my guys in the program is just, they're not in the raw text.
It's just because they're public by name, it seems
yeah.
a bit. But I could put them back in.
Yeah, it's well, just a question I wanted to ask.
Either way is fine for me, as long as the two things tie up, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really matter.
Wouldn't you think that if you just write the problem the way that even the way that it displays everything, it still leaves those out? Like if you give those a special information density idea, or just put
like minus one or something.
Yes, something like that, and then just make sure that summary even in the
yeah,
in the most summarized mode just never puts them in.
Might be a problem for me at this stage right now because I based everything on not having.
Actually,
yeah,
it's just the TF IDF in any sense.
Yeah, my topic segment doesn't like black things.
So maybe we should just omit them then.
What I also did was having two people annotate the first meeting, and so they didn't annotate the spaces, and everything would mess up. I think if I had spaces for the new. Value, so when I wanted
the
correlation, it wouldn't work anymore.
Something. And it's maybe we should leave them out there.
Okay, shall we take a quick look at the cards?
What I could do is work further with what I've got now, and then just when I have my final formula ready, I could apply it to the new stuff.
So.
By now, how did you assign the data back number? Did you take the one you found in the in the XML file and just, you know, put it there, or did you?
No, my IDF is based on Collins data, so I end up with the same level.
Okay, you end up with this.
Yeah, it is actually.
Okay.
It is jumping now. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Oh, so the summary is probably okay, because it does.
Yeah, it's summarized just now. It's just it's summarized stupidly, but at least it's jumping.
Yeah.
Is it still the old?
Yes, in fact, at the moment I don't even know which of the two I'm summarizing over. Do you know? Are we?
I can't remember which one it is at the moment.
So at the moment, the configuration is that word importance file is test 3 and TDIDF
yeah.
file is test 2. I've just switched them around. I have no clue what we're actually doing at the moment.
Those names are misleading. Well, TDIDF
yes,
word importance is completely misleading.
Especially since I've just switched them around anyway. But that's okay. By the way, I read a paper which makes an important point about combining two things of that type. It's basically going all about this fancy concept called geometric mean, which effectively just means multiplying them. But I have some good information about different ways how you can sort of weight two different factors, because it's for something very similar. Somebody who tried to solve a very similar problem where they also had two factors and they wanted to weigh them together, and there's like a good justifiable reason why we should do it in a certain way, and how we can then with a simple parameter adjust how much one weighs and how much the other weighs. So there is something for just for putting them together in a relatively simple way, but still a way that we can sort of justify.
Mm-hmm.
We can quote stuff on that.
Is
yeah,
it
so
very
we
complex?
No, it's multiplying them.
Oh, just multiplying together.
And like putting them one
to
over
power.
The power of something and the other over minus
I've
one.
Seen that before.
One minus the power of something. That sort of, and they've plotted some graphs about like where they show like one going from 0 to the
yeah.
one and the other going 0 to 1, and like how the landscape changes, how the parameter changes, how it works. So it's quite good.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So that's probably seeing that you're probably not going to go into any whatever base, blah blah blah, macro model, blah 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 about combining them.
Yeah.
And that's probably what we could go at. Now this is still not ideal at the moment, David. It's sort of it's overrunning. Like it's okay. So
yeah.
At the moment we're that far that if I now click onto a segment,
it's all working like it should do.
Yeah, it's just wait. Sorry, I just resized
it.
Yes, it's like the values are sort of hard coded for the screen sizes and dice and metric small. So let's see, I was a stupid user and was clicking on this segment. You probably have to make the segment lines a lot bigger. So then did I get a new summarization? I didn't actually see, so the clip looks like a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you see it's a different text. And you see
sure it did work.
It's running through it, and so you see the indicator in where we are is jumping.
Yeah.
So it's skipping stuff. Now, I don't think the summary at the moment is what we want it to be, seeing the word like, oh, and and exactly right.
It's
your
ancient data, though.
This seems probably, this is again probably the opposite of what we want, so it's probably some value which you have to like divide by one divide by the value or something. But
having said that, it's picking out some interesting stuff, like we're looking at Atlas, you'd expect to score quite
yes,
many.
But also every other word in that sentence, we should look at, are probably in your list of 50 like least important
yeah,
words in the universe,
Atlas,
so.
Yeah,
yes, but it's probably just because if you look at the other one, like this is just their best sentence for like having function verbs in a row, sort of. And every other, I mean, this one, so they're developing a big infrastructure. So maybe it's just doing it randomly at the moment, I don't know. But we have some summary working, and that's a good basis to start from. If I promise now that you get something where you can get your own data, and it's so ringing.
I'm just quite surprised that it all actually worked because I've been working. We've been working on like incomplete versions that haven't worked for a long time.
Yeah.
And to see it all come together.
Yeah, still it's might be having some problem. I think this one overran just before, so we might still have some problem here that it's not stopping at the end. But so Dave, can you make the promise? I'm not making the promise realistically that the girls will very soon get
yeah,
there.
I'll do the first thing I'll do is make a load box for selecting.
Okay, yeah.
And a script that sets the class path so it can be run.
So at the moment I've hard-coded it to just taking 1/10 of the number of utterances which were in the original selection.
Well, you'll have parameters for that.
Yeah. It actually gives you an error if you put it to 20 because there's some things in there which are shorter than 20. And if you select those, then it's
yeah,
telling
you need to add some sanity checking or something.
But I think like a proportional one is probably no bad idea. That's, I mean, an absent length is sort of a bit strange because that means that some utterances will not be changed in length. I know we had that discussion before and I'm confused myself about what I think about it. So the fact that this is going on beyond that green line here is something that's not ideal, but that's something we have to sort out. But this is working in general. Does anyone have a general overview over the whole time issue, like, as in, what date is it today, what date do we have to have this presented, what day of the week is that, and issues like that. So the presentation is now...
The presentation is exactly in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from today. Okay. 1 week from today I shall hear the freedom ring from the hills and everything, and shall then throw myself into new slavery.
I think we should start to think about evaluation. I mean, if you want to have some people...
We don't need it evaluated for the presentation, do we?
Yeah, but it's just 3 days between the presentation and
the... Oh, because it's moved back,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Ah, no, really?
Yeah.
And the report?
Yeah.
I can write people in.
Yeah, I think we should have taken
as
time
long as we
because
design
I think it will be.
As long as we design it beforehand, I think we can probably manage to actually do it in 3 days after.
But we also have to write the thing in that time.
Writing the report won't be so bad. How long is it expected to be?
I don't know. That's 50% of the mark.
I know, but if everyone... Like if everyone is managing 3 pages for their bit, then that's going to be that's a big report then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but evaluation.
We should probably write some user documentation because I bet that'll get us marks.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, and then that kind of stuff.
We should probably.
Just write, you know, little code for users.
Okay. Or like integrate tooltips that would be visible.
Yeah.
Yeah, of this exact one. It's got a user interface. So.
Have you Java docked it?
No.
And also, where is it?
It's still in my directory.
Because
the
code version in the group directory is not
Yeah, I've not been using that. Yeah, I've just been taking the passwords from your directory.
Okay.
Having said that, Dave, we could probably, if we want, we could probably go back to the group directory and just use this trick. It really seems to be all about starting in the
directory. Yeah.
But I mean, if the two of us are just working on it, it does make a difference because I've already marked the directory now. So.
Okay. Well, we should wait till we have it ready for you guys to use and we'll put it back in the group directory.
Mm.
So I'll try and do that today. If I've got time today. As long as I don't run into problems, I don't see it taking too long.
Summarization again, you wanted to base it on sentence length as well, and I've got sentence length incorporated into my importance measure at the moment. So
well, in that case, it's probably just, I mean, that's probably fine. I mean,
okay. But if you do it twice, it wouldn't make too much sense.
Yeah.
But I think I take the little work to
implement. I'm not sure how much should be done in the program because I don't know. I think it should probably be done offline.
What?
The basic combining all factors.
Well, if it's just multiplying two numbers, it can be done in the program. Then we
sure.
Because what we could do is have a slide where we can adjust this value. Actually, if you can figure out a way, like how. Basically, a general way, because there's at least 2 points at which we are interested in that. How we can just have a slide bar which we can read and write, which is in a frame of that type. That would be good. It shouldn't be difficult, should it? I mean,
hopefully, we can take over that rate one because we don't need it.
Yeah, but it might be more difficult. Let's see. You could, if you're lucky, you probably just have to extend that class and then you can work with that value. But if you're unlucky, it might be quicker to just write a very simple string component, which is just a file.
You can just add it to a panel. Like what? I bet that's a swing component, that little slider, and all you do is add it to a panel.
Yeah. So because we basically, it would be good to have two different ones to play around with. One for controlling the length of the summary, and another one for the merging factor, if we do it that way with the geometric.
Can you send me a link to that paper so that I'll implement that in some way?
Yeah. It's just a single formula effectively, yeah. How's the audio thing going? Is that you've probably not had time to work in it?
Yeah, like last week, but it's not going really well. But I can't see it taking long again.
Okay, it seems that at the moment a lot of the stuff that has to be done is sort of at the moment, I'm saying, oh, Dave, can you do this? That's not ideal.
To be honest, I've been like nothing really on it last week, so. And I've got time today, tomorrow, and probably Friday.
Okay.
So.
Because I think, I mean, the audio is, the audio is a very important component of it. Just because it's gonna look stupid if we have everything working, but just.
It's just annoying because I need to do that on a DICE machine and can't get them to compile on the Windows.
The speech tools?
Yeah. And most of the DICE machines don't have working sound cards. So.
Is there any way for exporting sound?
No idea.
Because that would be sort of the nice way to sit at home and have it.
Yeah.
Forward the sound at the lowest bit rate to you. I mean, seeing that it's over broadband, it's forwarding the graphics quite okay. It would probably, like, broadband-wise, bandwidth-wise, probably work out.
I'm not sure if it can do sound or not.
But it's probably not a simple thing.
But, like, what I can do is, I'm pretty confident that it'll just be writing a script and it'll just go. And as long as I can test the script like once, it's working fine. I can just make it return dummy stuff so it works on other machines.
Are you not creating files anyway, like sort of real files?
Yes.
So that you can do in a DICE machine independently?
Well, actually, I know what I can do. I can change the script, so if I'm using my one at home, I can just add SSH stuff in. To evoke the sound tools on DICE and then copy
yeah.
them back.
One problem with SSH in general is that the machine that, like the only gateway machines, they hate you for doing anything on them.
Yeah.
And there's no simple way, at least I haven't found one, to directly in a single step sort of SSH and then SSH again. Actually, I guess if you put SSH and you can give a command out right after with SSH. So if that command is SSH again,
yeah.
And if that would require that you have all your key files set correctly, which I haven't, because it always pops up in my system. Right? If you get that working, then you should be able to directly go into another machine.
I can figure out something.
Yeah.
If it comes to it, I'll just install NetBeans and stuff on my Linux machine and work on that.
Yeah, because a primitive version of the sound to have relatively soon would be good.
To be honest, there won't be a primitive in between stage.
So to come back to the problem we had before, so the reason why the summary didn't work well in the last one and works well now is because based on the bottom data, the data is so homogeneously high in its importance rating that it's just sort of then everything else being equal to the first ones, more or less. But now it's working better because now it's on a much more evenly distributed.
I wonder if we should do something like dropping the bottom third and remapping the lowest remaining one to zero and scaling it like that.
Well,
you get a much nicer distribution like that.
The most professional way of doing it would be to map them according to the standard deviation, because that way it would automatically always. It's sort of like it's the problem is it's more calculation expensive and slightly more complicated, even though it's actually like in terms of calculation it's not much. Have you ever generally about standard deviation?
I've not used it to do that.
It's a very simple formula, basically just whatever the average of mean square differences from the mean of, which the problem with it is that generally you first have to get the mean, and only once you have the mean you know what
there is a way of calculating it
in one go.
Yeah,
I've derived that.
I've
derived that myself. Like, I didn't find it, so I did it myself, and it took me a day with the formula, but then I'm slow at maths. So the good thing about that would be that if you simply say that whatever one standard deviation below the mean is 0, one standard deviation above the mean is 1 or 2 standard deviations or something, then whatever the data is like, it would always normalize.
Yeah, that's probably quite a good idea.
Yeah, it's not the simplest, but that's the most professional way I can think about it. That would indirectly also drop stuff. I mean, that would drop whatever is below.
Yeah, that's probably quite sensible.
So if you find that formula, that would be good. Otherwise, I can see if I can still understand, like I did it in my program. It's really stupid, like the standard deviation formula just requires you to have the mean initially, and that makes some things exactly twice as computationally expensive. And there is a way of doing it commutatively.
Yeah, I can't remember it offhand, but I know there is one.
So, yeah, so that's one possible way of doing that. So
it could be fine. Running out of data twice, probably.
But that's just in the loading stage, right? Yeah, that should actually be fine, especially in the worst case, we just introduce a small hourglass. But anyway, we're only going to present this once, and we can probably just like sort of start it up before the presentation starts. So you shouldn't at all be worried about it. It's actually quite beautiful. It's like if you want a program only to run once and only a part of it, you don't worry if it crashes afterwards. If it wastes all the resources, it formats the hard disk in the end. Anyway, I'm rambling on.
Ours never closes the process.
No, that's not it. I changed that just.
They used to not close the process when you click the cross.
You would forget that. That means that you would start it 15 times over and there are 15 zombies running. Does anyone know anything about which dice machines have sound cards and how to find them? Because
no.
The thing is, we can, like this at the moment, it's working because it has a sound card. The interesting thing is that because of the structure of this, it isn't enough to just say, well, if you don't have a sound card, you don't have sound. At least I think that's what I remember our problem was.
Yeah, it refuses to load the clock for some reason.
So I've worked around it. There is ways, I think, to get around it, but the problem is, so you basically have to have two code versions, then one for sound card and one for non-sound card machines to test it on. Because you have to change all sorts of other things if you don't have a sound card. So there isn't a simple way to just tell which ones the sound card machines are, just to use sound card machines instead.
Yeah. That makes it really quite difficult for us if we want to test our stuff and first have to fight for a computer.
No, but I guess, if you trust in Dave's summary for the audio, just putting all these things into sound then having
sure.
A written summary.
I just care for the written one. Does
yeah, you still get the
written
one.
Yeah, so the
only thing you don't get is the clock.
Yeah. So
okay,
I think that
really
the easiest way is if you just make a sound card and a non-sound card version of it. Because
I don't think we should bother because we'll run it on the sound card version.
Yeah, but then that means that the ghost can't test it. That's the problem. Like,
yes, we can. All that happens, it refuses to load the clock. You still get the display.
Yes, but without the clock, you don't have. Well, actually, you're right. It doesn't strictly have to do any movement.
So the move. You can still click on the segment, and that will still work. Right?
Yeah, but we have to comment stuff out for that. I think like at the moment, if you click on a segment, it automatically sets the whole clock thing going and stuff. So we have to comment out stuff. That's what I'm saying. That there is. We could make it a flag, couldn't we? We could just make it a runtime flag and then make a few ifs and say if.
There must be a way of detecting if the clock's loaded. Like
yes.
In fact, there is.
There
you
is.
Could try and set something on the clock and use try and catch. And then if you catch the exception, you set the flag.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's something we should probably do in one way or another because it seems just that the overwhelming majority of dice machines don't have sound cards.
You want to have a look at the agreement and disagreement data that I worked on last week, or do you have anything more on this?
No, nothing much to talk about this. So apart from like a search box and the similarity thing, once that kicks off, this is more or less in the end, like this is very similar to what our product will look like in the end. seeing that realistically with a given time frame, we're not going to do amazing new things from now on. So we hopefully
perhaps my list of agreements. Perhaps my list of agreements somewhere.
List of agreements?
Yeah.
We could put those
if we find them good enough.
Okay.
We could provide that in an extra list saying probably.
Yeah, I think it would be good in the display to annotate them in the display.
Yeah, for example.
Yeah, we could just
can you click on a point in time in the display?
Not just yet, but that should, that's actually, that's probably the only thing I can say I can do this week, because that should be, I mean, I do it in an inefficient way, I'll effectively sort of go through all the segments and check if they are clicked on, but I think that what we should do is that that time click of the clock, I think that's changeable, and I think we should probably increase that, because at the moment it's 0.1 seconds, and that's just, there is actually, there's some background noise when it's working, and I think that is because it's like doing so much every time.
I don't get that on my machine.
Yeah, it's probably because you, I'm not sure if you have the version with the display yet, where the display is actually updating up here when it's
no.
moving on. So I mean, yes, it is because my display is programmed inefficiently, but I think with a given time constraints, it's probably easier instead of making a very efficient display code to just make the time, make the clock, whatever, 0.5 seconds or something. Do you want to monitor?
As long as you can skip more accurately than the time steps, that's fine. Because otherwise you might risk cutting bits off.
If I can skip more accurately, then...
Like, if you want to jump to a point, you need to be able to jump more accurately than a half second. By a half second, you'll miss words.
Still with that idea that we want to display bars for the individual speakers.
Yeah.
Okay. And also
it's a bit small, but I don't know why that is.
Oh yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
It's probably because it's coming from my resolution and it's even much higher resolutions.
Yeah, perhaps because it's widescreen or something. Yeah. But, okay, what you see here in this part is the. No,
yeah.
Here is a list of the most important or most probable words that occur in agreement. So the number in the first brackets is so I run it on all the BED, BMR, and BRO meetings to learn it. So the number in the first brackets is how often it occurred in the utterances that were annotated as agreements by the dialogue act agreement. And the number in the second brackets is how much it occurred in the rest. And the first number in every line is how much more often that is per same. Same text length. So the ones that it gives are look quite good, I think. It's exciting, perfect, true, interesting, exactly, correct, super, and so on. And then I run it on the first meeting, getting what's in the brackets in this window here is the utterances, and at the moment it can't make any differences between, I mean, you get the same value for every utterance that is exactly or every utterance that is short. And for the longer utterances, I just look how often one of these words is in there and simply add it up. So that should, in principle, favor longer utterances. And so these numbers here, 1 or 0, these here, and that's the dialogue act labels, whether it's, if they're annotated as agreement, not zero here. So here, for those who get a, that get a very high score, they are mostly not zero. And some of those who are zero are still very good. Like, I definitely agree. It's a nice kind of agreement that we probably want to have. And when you get further down, yeah, you see those who have very low score also have no agreements. Yeah, they are.
Again,
zeros.
I think that's probably good. Part if we have a slide bar initially where we could dynamically adapt the threshold of what
of
we
describe, yeah.
Yes, so maybe it's just like, maybe it's just good to have like some generic component with three slide bars or something where we can relatively easily add a fourth one or something, you know,
yeah.
And just like sort of all our fiddle factors. And
obviously we'll hide that in the presentation.
But we could, like, in some cases we could put it as a feature and say, you know, you can dynamically
like, we don't want, I don't think we want to have exposed the user doing things like adding the threshold of which.
We wouldn't call it threshold, it would be sort of like the granularity of decision or something like it. So
decision factor.
Yeah, and everything above that threshold, I could then at the utterance where it occurs, just put a certain graphical item, like a handshake or something. Cool.
Yeah, that does look quite promising.
So it looks quite good, I think. So that's what I got for agreement, then for disagreement. I did also, but it's a bit more difficult because there's so little disagreement. Yeah, so there you again see the list, but it's much shorter and it's much.
Yes, I was. I'm generally the same. Like it's so tempting. Yellow smiles and yellow angry faces. beautiful.
And that is here the list of utterances it gets us for the first meeting.
Didn't somebody say that actually, like, a lot of agreements have actual words which are such as disagreement, like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we have that written so high here.
Yeah, that makes sense. So can you?
Think is also rated higher in the non-agreement than in the agreement.
So
and
we have produced basically an agreement and a disagreement score for every dialogue app?
Yes. Yeah, that's...
So could you put them in the same format as the other data?
Yeah, it's just... it's exactly this thing that just... I would just have to rescale this factor here. And, I mean, this is the dialogue that I'm also...
Alright, okay. So I can probably read it from
yeah, I can just give it to you in the format you want. So
my preferred would be dialogue app number.
And then score, yeah, this was
you
just
can put
for
both
showing.
The scores in one file.
Huh?
You put both the scores in one file, it makes it easy.
If they're corresponding for each thing, yeah, they should be right. So for each utterance you have one
agreement,
one disagreement.
Yeah.
So I'll read that into I'll make it part of the get measure thing, so you can just get it with a flag. Using get measure.
Okay, yeah. The one
so
you
know how zero is TF, IDF, one is I've called it word important, so that's a really.
You know what, if you can, if you introduce like sort of a static, what's it called, public static int, so basically a constant, like the steps on the constant, give them names, like so zero, TDIDF, one, that probably makes the code a lot more readable for everybody who's playing around with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like whatever three means agreement value, and then I just write something agreement, and then it's easier to understand for both of us what's going on.
One problem I still have is with all the years, because I mean, obviously they all write it the same. So I was thinking at looking at the acoustic measures I have, so for example at my F0 deviation, but by now I just had a look at the year data, and actually the average F0 deviation is only slightly higher for the positive ones than for the negative ones. I mean, there is a difference, but probably not significant enough to really make use of it. But
I would also
investigate some.
But
times
I would also
yeah, it's occurring not only as an agreement but really frequently as like an encouragement as well.
Yeah. So and I my hypothesis was that if it's really yeah, I like agreement, it would sound different than if it is just a back channel.
But you know what, I think we should put the threshold for that in the end quite high anyways. It probably doesn't make much of a difference because I think this thing
but that has nothing to do with the threshold.
No,
because
like
you don't have it only with yes, you have it also with words that are much higher ranked. You have the same problem, like for example with yep is much higher ranked because it occurs less often in the training thing.
But I mean the fact that different ones have the same number in itself isn't a problem, is it?
No, it's only if they're used in different contexts.
So if for every yep you'd be sure that it's an agreement, then that wouldn't be a problem. So you're saying that you're not sure if every yep is an agreement?
Yes, I know that not every yep is an agreement because this right, yep, and okay things are typically also actions.
And what's the highest ranked one that kind of problem occurs with? Because if it's below about, because I saw those ones up in the 80s, wasn't there? If it's below like 50, it's probably like exactly. No, they're all
yeah, and you would throw a lot away that are quite good.
Because on the display we probably take quite high, so it only matter if it occurs on ones that are really high ranked.
So over how many different, over which length is this now? This is like, so the third column is the occurrence where it occurs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we really do have to put the threshold quite high then, because
well, otherwise you'd get icons all over.
Yes, because I was just checking, like, how far apart are they? And at the moment, that's definitely not a good thing to display if they're, like, an average 10 canaparances apart.
Yeah.
So we will probably want to take a threshold at least of 50 or 60, just as a looking at that.
I think for this meeting, there were present like around 90 annotated agreements, or yeah, agreement dialogue acts.
So you probably want to display 90. We'd want to break the samples.
I mean, the best ones are definitely those on the first screen here. So
again, I'd say probably a good way of going about that question is to have control which we can vary in the
yeah, see how it
and then just sort of because that's in the end how it's going to be evaluated. You know, in the end, this is kind of like, I mean, we're going to present it and say, yeah, so this is how it shows disagreements, and then you see what looks good and what looks, I think, probably looks credible. Like, if every sort of every topic segment has.
Agreement
mm-hmm.
at the end.
Yeah.
We have like something in between 3 and 5 agreements, but not more, probably maybe less, but not much less. And actually, I think that doesn't have to be on everything.
Yeah. Probably have to plot them because some of them are also, I mean, this is just added by different speakers, for example. They are immediately following one another, but it's just 2 speakers agreeing, I think. Same for this one here.
So yeah, we probably want to merge ones that are very close.
I mean, they will be optically merged anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, but maybe in an expensive way, or maybe in a stupid looking way that
we should probably make this in logic when it displays it.
Yeah.
So if those ones very close together, it just
yeah, I was just thinking that kind of
this
can probably be done in display level.
Yeah, it's looking quite good though.
This one crashed. Mine just crashed, but it was bad. It probably just kept on playing and now reached something.
I think it's always really funny that when you look at people's computers, you don't use a computer much, their desktop's really tidy. And when you look at people, you use it all the time, there's stuff everywhere. So toys on that as well.
I only keep the stuff I actually need on it, and then I clean it up every, you know, week.
My god.
But actually, this all here is an SSD because it was data that didn't fit on my photo anymore.
So, Jamie, you wanted to keep us for each topic segment or something?
Yeah. I think sort of the bottom line, which might well end up what it's going to be like, is that we take the single highest ranked utterance and put that as a title, like realistically looking at this from the time we have left to do this and stuff.
Because what I do is having values for each segment at the moment, so I could just extract the highest ones for each segment.
Yes.
I don't know if that's good, but at least I could provide some learning.
Yeah, maybe even on a single, like, is that on a word basis, would that be single words, or would that be...
It doesn't matter to me.
So check out what they would be like on a word basis.
Yeah.
Maybe actually if there's one word which is very typical, I mean, it's probably somewhere like, because that's like the only time that was spelled with three A and stuff. I think that actually that might be a problem of the whole annotation, that if they aren't exactly consistent in how they transcribe stuff like that, then we're probably...
With the yoo-hoos and so on.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking sometimes, like, why is mm high, but then probably it's the only time that mm was spelled with a dot at the end and stuff, so... But yeah, like, if single...
Maybe we should download a dictionary and check our utterances before we use them to make sure that they're actually real words. You see what I mean?
I have dictionaries. If it's just, like, I have arbitrarily long lists from the British National Corpus of when you
that do not include hmm.
Well, let's say at least they do it consistently enough that I think you can filter them out fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, see how it turns out. If they look good, then that's a good way of doing it, I suppose.
Yeah, so if the single best one word for a segment. It's interesting, that would be really good.
Mm.
To be
actually, one thing you should do is take the highest three or four and then just merge them into one utterance.
Use
it
wouldn't
make any sense, but it gives you an idea of what they're actually talking about. If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Can we bring backwards, you know, some of these
cracks?
Yeah,
the segments are really long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of in the original content in the nice fancy drawings that you gave Stephen. I mean, that was part of it, that sort of within a segment you had these sub-segments that each of them had different verse and whatever had cloud dreams.
Yeah,
another assignment. No, I don't think we have.
That's a shame. It would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have time to make it display like a whole archive of meetings. Or is it just going to be displaying a single meeting that we all
got? At the moment, it doesn't really care how many meetings it's displaying.
Poor man's solution is probably going to be to have a
just draw a big black line on the borders, I think.
Mm.
Oh, so you're thinking of loading them all at once?
Well, you can if you want to.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It can display from any utterance to any other utterance. It doesn't really...
Yeah, see, at the moment, the dialogue I think is they start at zero for each meeting. We don't want
either
continuously.
Uh-huh.
But you'd like them to
start
continuously.
Yeah.
You will provide a file with all the pairings?
Yeah. Change the index
to the...
Because that way, all we have to do to display one meeting is have a harder boundary drawn.
Yeah. I think that, like, the drawings we changed anyway, that's not pretty optimal. Yeah, so performance-wise, it generally works fine. For the display, it shouldn't make much of a difference, because I think everything in the display code is just from the first one to the last one displayed, so if the other performance is okay, then we should really just load the whole thing in. Very
one thing we will have to do is we really want a different behavior if we clicked on a whole meeting. meeting, I think it should reinitialize and display that just that meeting. I'm not sure how easy that would be to do.
See, that probably just means that the display sort of has an internal knowledge about what level of zoom it has. So initially the display,
it just needs to know whether it's displaying more than one whole meeting, doesn't it? That's the only knowledge it would need.
Yes. Yeah.
But anyway, we can sort that out if we have
time. That's probably fairly simple to do, actually. If we do it in that most primitive way of just saying as long as it's been more than one meeting.
Yeah. That gets sufficient to claim that we've implemented some kind of zoom as well.
Yeah. We then need some way of getting back up again in the hierarchy, but then in the worst case it will just be a static sort of error up button in the right hand upper corner of the display, and you press that and then you're on the display the whole thing again. But for that, at the moment, my display code needs that thing to work, the one, oh no, that's working at the moment anyway, the one that I just say, give me 100 values over that length, and then you're internally.
Yeah, it's not done in a very clever way.
Okay, yeah, but that's okay, as long as my display, I was just thinking my display can't handle displaying a million different seconds, and now, no, but it doesn't have to, even now it doesn't have to. Okay, well, that's all details. Dave, can you just turn this what we have right now?
Basically, do a code for me somewhere.
Do you want me to put a search in soon?
I'll probably tonight just work on getting a frozen version that works consistently.
Yeah.
And if you could document it for me, that's probably enough for me to have it in. Unless you want to
do
it on my code.
Yeah.
I've not documented the program manager class, so it's a bit hairy.
Anyone feels that they have free time? One thing that would be convenient for all sorts of things in which I haven't found out about it is how to do tooltips in an arbitrary way in Swing graphic displays. Now, there are simple ways of doing tooltips over a given element, like if you have a button, you just give it a tooltip text. But there is means of doing tooltips that just, like, I put my mouse over, let's say I put my mouse over this line here, and then it would tell me something about what it is. That would be quite convenient for a lot of things, because then we can sort of have a lot of information in the display in the way that just when the mouse is over it. But I haven't figured out how it works, and that's something that probably, so if everyone is ever bored, or if anyone feels that they can do that.
Okay, so probably what you'd want to do is detect where the mouse is and change the default tooltip for that component.
Yes.
Because it automatically displays the correct position.
Yeah, but the thing is, it isn't simply an act of setting a string default tooltip. There seems to be something about a tooltip object that you have to create and give it all sorts of different properties and stuff.
You might not really want to be creating a new one every time you move the mouse.
So anyway, I haven't looked much into that. So if anybody looks into that, then let me know. Otherwise, I'll start looking into it as soon as I have time again. But if anybody...
I'll have a look through some of my JavaScripts, because it might be the sort of thing that happened.
Yeah. I found some stuff about it on the web, and it just looked to me like proper coding. Like, I saw half-page code samples which effectively just displayed a tooltip, and I didn't have the time at that point to get deeper into that. So if anybody gets any good samples of that. Anyway, is that it for now?
Is that version all in there?
No, but I'm going about an hour now, and I have my external hard disk, so I can...
So I'll start working.
Yeah. Is there any dice machines in this building?
Mm-hmm.
It's really accessible for me. Can you show me where? Because I'm actually not going to have a tower at the moment, so I don't need to go out in time. Actually, no, but I have to go there anyway. Put a piece of paper and two machines where some stuff of mine is running. Yeah, and I think like I'll just keep in full time for NLSSD next week, because there's nothing I have to do then. Apart from cognitive modeling, which I think I'm just doing like 5 hours, 3 hours. You take a look at that?
Yeah, but not too detailed. So.
I might just not go for the last question, because usually the last question is what takes half the time and gives you quite a lot of discipline.
Okay.
guess we're gonna talk about the evaluation next week.
We really need to get in contact with the other group and see if they want to do a joint evaluation.
Yeah, we can.
So we need to get their email addresses.
Yeah, you click on the NLSD webpage.
Are they?
True.
At least their names and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you do send you their email, 'cause I was hoping that Steve would mention it to you, because we've mentioned it to him so many times, but he obviously hasn't.
No, maybe he has mentioned to them, but they just never talked to us and we didn't talk to them, so. It's sort of coming as a shock to me now, because I was sort of in this mindset, like, I first knew, oh, there's a lot of time between the presentation and the report, and then I knew, oh, now the presentation has shifted, that the correlation between those two facts, the interdependencies, there's some fancy planning language about that.
There's the frame problem.
Yes, it's probably somewhere that the frame problem. Frame plot problem hasn't been clear to me.
I think it's coming together not bad at the moment, actually.
Mm. By the way, how long, how much time do we have for the presentation?
Probably as long as we need.
Yeah, but more like 20 minutes or more like an hour.
Well, I reckon.
Can't see going on for an hour. Something like
I reckon that.
Yeah, I mean, if you present the components or what it's based on, then you will need more than 20 minutes to present it. Yes.
But if you just present the functionality of the thing, if you're not.
Yeah,
like, I don't think this presentation is about the internal working. So
yeah, it's a demo, basically.
Yeah. So for a demo, I think realistically, since everything in this university sort of works in 1 hour slots and stuff, so it's just two groups and it probably is gonna be roughly a half an hour-ish.
Yeah.
And like 10 minutes of that we probably set up time as well.
Hmm?
10 minutes of that will probably set up time as well.
No, why? This is gonna be so bad, like there's gonna be some small.
Well, maybe you should present it on your laptop, because we can be really sure it's running before.
Yeah, but
the
performance is really bad at the moment of that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we would have to get the speech tools running on that app.
I could probably get my computer in. I could get someone to give me a lift. I know a couple of people in cars.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's see. It could just be fluent on the laptop for all I know. I mean, like, at the moment, it's not too bad apart from. I think the sound is stuttering, and I think because of the laptop. We can only really judge that once we have sound.
So I don't need to bring a monitor or anything. I just need to bring a box.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure.
How fast is one for?
My computer. Yeah, it doesn't have Linux.
So NetBeans would run on anything but.
Or Django.
Yes.
In fact, you shouldn't even need either as well.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
you
can
use Django. Machine should be fine. But it all relies on finding some way of getting the speech tools to do their job.
Oh, crap. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that's. Because that's the thing, like. That would rely on me.
Maybe.
I just don't think it's a good idea to run the speech tools in.
In SQL.
Yeah.
No, but SQL should run the Java as well.
Where? No. Wherever this is going, it doesn't sound good. Can use my laptop as sort of like as a. It's a server. It's a sound server, but that doesn't mean that you have to get the speech tool running on it. Now, you know, I think, I mean, the way Java works is that I think it'll run on their dice machine if we're doing
hopefully,
it.
Yeah.
If we should definitely test it the day before.
Yeah,
I'm sure you will, so test right before we do.
So Dave, are you going to make something primitive that people can load their data in?
Yeah, I'll do that today. And I'll make a script to run it and put that in the group directory. And I'll send that an email as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what needs to be changed to make it work with it. To make it not crash if it doesn't sound right. There's quite a bit you have to comment out for that. Just stupid.
It'll be the bit where it creates the clock. Or is there something in the display as well?
You know, the thing is the display calls methods, which probably is expect some. So I think if the display itself isn't doing anything clocky, so as long as in the main, in the program manager, everything clocky is removed, but it might be worthwhile to check how much more work it would be to do it over a flag. Then in the end, because otherwise you always have two code works and people might be changing their
own. Well, really, we shouldn't even need a flag. You should be able to do it with exceptions. I mean, that's this kind of not exact case that exceptions are made for, really.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I know that like if you don't do the exceptions, you actually get crashes. That's what you figured out. Like,
yeah.
If you don't have a sound cut, it crashes if you don't do sound. Yeah, okay, cool.
In the scene program manager, do you have a method to like, set the current ID? Sort of update the display, because that's what I'm going to need when I'm getting the search results.
No, it's going to have to be something a bit more complicated than that. What it will have to do is deregister everything, there's time handlers, and then update, and then re-register them.
Right.
I think the display has some method for it. I'm not like for the program manager that you call, I'm not actually 100% sure what it's called, but the display has some method where you tell it where to start.
Yeah, well, as far as I've got at the moment, I've made a result class that's got like the ID.
Have you got a component for displaying lists of matches?
Yeah. I think what I'm working on it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it's not too hard to do. All you have to do is deregister everything into a time handler first.
Right.
Before you have to start working. But, depends what behaviour you want. Do we want, when you click on a search result, we definitely.
Actually, yeah,
and it may not be there.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that
maybe a problem. I was thinking it's exactly the same thing that happens when we say set selection. It's not, but actually, set selection does everything you want, sort of.
Yeah, sets. If you look at set select.
No, but set selection doesn't update the display though, because.
Does it not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't tell the display which part to display, because the display is just called set selection.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If it's job to in the end text area, then you'll display the line will jump, won't it?
Yeah, but that only works, that at the moment isn't done through our system, that's just done because then the time changes. So actually a time change would automatically put the position of the display in the right way. No, but that's not a good idea because that could well be outside the displayed area then.
And also the real time and play time.
So we
need to re-initialize the display.
Yeah, and I think the display has a method for that ready, which is called. Anyway, the display is something useful for that. Something before we start with the word set. Yeah, you can set the window start utterance and window end utterance.
Yeah, we need to do something to ensure that the search result is in the summary.
Yeah.
That's created. So maybe we probably want a different summary constructor that takes an additional argument of an ID. And that utterance will always be in the summary.
Alternatively, there's always the method of just giving it a really high score. As a half, you know, it should. As long as you then don't, well, probably people wouldn't know.
The trouble is that still doesn't guarantee it will appear, because if you get enough of them that are high scored, it prefers the first one to see.
You could put 1.1 and the other ones on the cut to 1.
Yeah, that's what it's.
But no, it's not a nice word, I'm just saying.
You keep it when you're doing a search, you keep this like sort of zoom back out so you've got the full text for that segment, or let me think, rather than a summary. Because that's maybe what you want everybody to use it.
Yeah, probably that's actually true, that if you're doing a search, you're usually not interested in a condensed way, but in the full thing anyway.
You can achieve the same.
It would be too complicated to cope with the system if you have to readjust it to a different zoom level to get better results.
Probably.
I mean, it would
the way
be a strange view in the eyes of the user.
Would be to make a summary that's the same length as the selection, and that would ensure that the search.
Yeah.
I think proportion, like, even though I'm always getting myself confused about this, but I think sort of making the summary length thing generally proportional, like as a proportional
yeah.
factor of its original length is a good way of going about it, because anything with absolute length is sort of stupid, because that means that a long, long segment gets to 1% of its length and another one gets to exactly the same length and stuff. So if you're doing it by a proportion, then just having 1.0 or something
yeah,
makes it very easy to always end up with. Actually, that's what I'm currently, like the current code just takes a tenth of the summary length.
But we'll have that sorted.
Yeah. And that's the type of slider that you can actually leave in and like show
yeah,
that's functionality.
Easy.
Yeah, that's sort of like your level of soup of impending doom. Shall we quit here?
Yeah.
Anything to be discussed? Because I'm going to copy
okay.
my stuff over.
And I will start working on say two. We'll be done with it.
Yeah, otherwise you would definitely see me and then so
okay.
I just
so Toby, did you go to the CM lecture yesterday?
Oh yeah, I didn't actually, well I sort of was staying because I couldn't really get out of my seat, but I was falling asleep again. No, I don't have it with me now because I left my folder at home.
Did he present anything useful about...
Naive base, it was...
No, I mean about the system you work on, the Vicar system.
Well, he started Vicar up once, and he sort of went quickly through what you do, but I didn't pay very much attention to that. And so it didn't look to me like he wasn't doing an overly thorough instruction to Vicar, it was just a 10-minute very quick, this is how you started. And
look at it, and I was wondering if there was any documentation or anything at all to figure out what.
I think there's quite a few people from courses that have done. I think there's quite a few people who have done courses that do a lot of Vicar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So investing might be the team up to those and see if they can make any sense of it. I can't allocate more than like really like half an afternoon to.
Mm-hmm.
You know.